The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Thursday edition. And this one, jam-packed. Breaking headlines, fine guests, and you could participate, 844-967-2789. Robert Pilot, our good friend from the Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, will join at 3:30, Line 5, Enbridge, in a court ruling, a decision, I guess, more appropriately from the Biden administration, but we'll talk about it with Robert in about 20 minutes. Also, my little buddy Dom, he'll join at 4, as is his custom. And Dr. Tim Slecker, it's been too long, a education specialist. I've known Tim for a long time, but he joins the show in the 5 o'clock hour, the happier happy hour, Educated Educators Talking Education, the Busted Pencils. He's the host of that immediately after this big show. But I got to tell you, Rich nearly broke my heart today. Rich, the first to announce to me through the sharing of a media report that Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. Did you hear this? Oh, my God. I don't want to say this is terrible news because, of course, it will become very, very important to retain this seat. And, you know, what's the old saying is one door closes, another opens. Ann Walsh Bradley, I think by her own admission, thinks if she ran again, she'd win. And up until now, that was my assumption. She would run again and she would win again because she is a very qualified candidate. She has been on the court for 30 years, the senior jurist, 73. I don't think that's too old. I don't think she thinks that's too old, but perhaps a passing of the torch, if you will. So I saw this news, and my immediate thought is, who's next? Who's next? And we'll get to the details. The Journal Sentinel and others. Molly Beck and Jesse Apoyan write the headline, Ann Walsh Bradley's retirement sets the stage for another high-stakes Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Oh, yeah. April of 2025, that is the spring, the next spring. All this hard work, the fair maps, everything could go by the wayside if we lose the balance of the court. And Ann Walsh Bradley is the good Bradley. She's on our team, or at least that is the perception. She is, you know, a left-of-center jurist, and she usually votes with the liberal bloc, now the controlling bloc of the court. But what happens if she retires because the incumbents in most elective offices in the state Supreme Court, if you're unaware, it's an elected office in the state of Wisconsin. But most incumbents, 86%, something like that, carry through, win re-election. So there's a damn good chance if she ran, she'd win. And it was already going to be a contested race. We already knew of the Republican entrant, the former attorney general. It's got some name recognition, Brad Schimmel. Now, never respected the man much. Not his let's just say legal philosophy or his specific intelligence didn't strike me as a real brilliant guy. But anyways, he is the champion of the right. He will be their Don Quixote. Which begs the question, who will be our champion? Who's going to be our hero? Who will be the preferred candidate speaking only for myself at this moment. I don't represent the Dems or the left, but I represent Crudy. And Dom, of course, represents the sovereign nation of Dom. So, who do I like? And we'll find out a little bit later in the show. Who would Dom choose? But I feel pretty confident. There's one great candidate that jumped immediately to mind. Why is that? Because I have been considering this person for higher office for a decade. As long as I've known her, I've thought that she deserves something bigger than where I first met her. And where I first met her was in the state assembly. Madison's own Chris Taylor. And Chris served with some distinction, if my memory serves. Once upon a time, Chris Taylor, I believe, had more votes for her than any other representative in the state assembly. That's how popular she is in her Madison district, obviously, pretty liberal. Chris, known as a liberal, I believe had a Planned Parenthood background, but came over, won an assembly seat, also a lawyer by trade, and eventually moved on to the district court. I don't recall specifically, maybe it was a Evers appointment, but she joined the court. She is subsequently, and the district courts where they have trials, the district courts, you know, that's Judge Judy style stuff. That's where there is a judge presiding. They hold the trials. That's the district court level. Taylor has served at the district court level. But beyond that, the next level, the next rung of the court in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation, not universally, but often, is an appellate court level. And Chris Taylor has been elected to the appellate court, has served on the appellate court, and has therefore seen what it's like reviewing the work, the legal work, of another human being, another district court judge. So she's done the job, and she's also done the job of reviewing the work of others, the appellate process. And then finally, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and sometimes, they jump the appellate courts and they go straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And sometimes the Wisconsin Supreme Court allows that to happen. They have some discretion over whether or not they take a case, right? But Chris Taylor is what I would perceive to be the ideal candidate because she's got a great resume. She has served both as a legislator, a district court judge, and now an appellate court judge. And that is very specifically what a Supreme Court justice does. They review the legal records, they review the work of others, and they look and see if it was determined against the construct of the Constitution or whatever the case may be. So she's already done this job just on the appellate court level. Very qualified candidate. Contrast that with the Brad Schimmel, who, when he first ran for attorney general, didn't know his own website, didn't know a hell of a lot about anything. I don't really think his jurisprudence grew that large just because Scott Walker, the wanker, gave him an appellate court, a district court appointment in Waukesha County, where he had prior served as the district attorney. So those are the known knowns. But if one door closes, if Ann Walsh Bradley is to leave, and this is the determinant of whether or not this court is liberal, remains liberal, maybe the fair maps hold up for more than 6 months, could you imagine going through a whole nother change of the maps next August because we've seen the turning of the court again and the partisans on the right have no qualms whatsoever about finding justification to go revisit? They've already accused the left of doing that. They'll do it back. Well, we thought we owed it to you. So have every faith if we lose this Supreme Court seat, we will revisit the maps and every other thing, perhaps all the way up to and including abortion rights, when it gets to this Supreme Court and they bring some rulings down. So no pressure, right? But Chris Taylor, please, please consider running for this seat. And I have reached out to Chris, and she was gracious enough. And I'm sure, you know, she does have a court calendar, or at least a Pellicord calendar, and, you know, she's a busy human being. Important people often are, but she was gracious. I sound like Glenn Grothman calling me a racist one day. She was gracious enough to respond and said, thank you for the encouragement. And I'm very much interested in running, but I got to talk to, you know, the powers that be, the family, et cetera. So it was a brief text exchange. I don't want to give you any particular insights. I had already seen her quoted in the paper, so I didn't feel like I was crossing any lines by asking her, but, you know, damn it, Chris Taylor, you're my candidate. You are my great hope to retain the court. And I had once upon a time hoped that Ann Walsh Bradley would run for re-election and Chris Taylor could give us a 1-2 punch, a 2-seat majority on the court. What a fine thought that would be, because the bad Bradley's up for re-election the next year. The bad Bradley is. Ann Walsh Bradley's retirement sets the stage for another high-stakes Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The retirement of the state's Supreme Court's longest-serving justice sets up another battle for control of the state's highest court just 2 years after more than $50 million was poured into a race that created a liberal majority for the first time in more than a decade. Ann Walsh Bradley, 73, will leave the court next year after serving 30 years. 30 years just on the high court. When Justice Janet Protasiewicz was elected in 23, the good Bradley, Walsh Bradley, said it was the first time she would serve with a true liberal majority. Now, as she departs, the same partisan interests are expected to create another expensive battle for control of the court. Already, political heavyweights are adding their name to the potential roster of candidates. Former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, we talked about Brad, never really prepared for anything, Brad, but I'm sure he's running, who is now a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge, launched a campaign for Supreme Court in December. State Court of Appeals Judge Chris Taylor, that's my favorite candidate, was a former Democratic state lawmaker and policy director of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Thursday. She's considering a run. And Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford, a former partner at Pinesbach Law Firm, also confirmed she's considering a run. Well, I know her, Susan Crawford, less well, only by perhaps reputation and firm. But Chris Taylor, I know well. And if one door is going to close, that would be the next candidate I'd love to see come walking through. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Going to be a fine show, a big news day. Join us. 844-967-2789. And oh yeah, OJ's dead.
Anyone who wants a piece of OJ has to get by me.
No, Peter. This is my fight, and I'll be the one to fight it. Look at you all. Look what you're doing. Well, you're no better than what you made me out to be. Sure, I've made some mistakes in my life. I forget to take the trash out some days. I've left the toothpaste cap on the bathroom counter. I've taped football games without the express written consent of the National Football League. I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not perfect. The only difference is, I have the courage to admit it. Does anyone else have the courage? If so, why don't you just come on up here and join me?
He's right. I'm not perfect. I suppose I'm not either.
Yeah, I guess none of us are perfect.
Boy, do I feel like a jerk.
Me too.
I think we owe you an apology, OJ.
You see, none of us are perfect.
Oh, I guess he did do it.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. OJ's dead. You know, I hate to say it with glee. I think he did do it. I think everyone pretty much thought he did do it. We will talk about this. There is big breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin as well. Ann Walsh Bradley leaving the Wisconsin Supreme Court at the end of her term, not running for re-election. If you got comment right now, it'd be a great time, 844-967-2789, because otherwise, I'm telling a story, and the story I want to tell is about OJ and the day the OJ verdict came down. I was a young Cub news guy. I was working in the newsroom for ABC, WXOW, I believe, TV 19, La Crescent, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Well, La Crescent is Minnesota. So I went to college in La Crosse. That was my college roommate, if you didn't know that. And anyways, I, unlike him, had gainful employment. And I was working at a TV station, and for whatever reason, and it was small market TV. So you covered whatever was going on in the community on a given day. So one day we're out, and I believe I was covering some sort of women's bazaar. There was certainly a big conference, and it was primarily women. I have a vague memory of that, just a lot of women in a room in circles of 8 or 10 at, you know, at tables. They were being seated for a dining, sort of a luncheon sort of a thing. So an acknowledgement luncheon of some sort, celebrating women. And oh yeah, suddenly it's been announced, the OJ verdict's coming down in real time. And somebody put it on the PA system in the Marriott Hotel or whatever it was, the Radisson perhaps in La Crosse. And so I've got a camera. I'm a camera guy. That's my role immediately out of college. I worked first in sports and then on to the newsroom. So, you know, whatever was happening that day, I was the camera guy. I was there to cover it visually. And it didn't happen unless it happens on camera. But anyways, I got the camera and they're reading, you know, the final instructions, and the Judge Ito, I think it was, I believe, questioned, you know, have you arrived at a verdict? Yes, we have, Your Honor. You know, and this is playing out in this room. And I've got a table of maybe 10 women focused. So I'm looking at them responding in real time to the sound, what's happening in the courtroom. And this was my impression of the OJ verdict. So anyways, the verdict came down. Not guilty, Your Honor. Not guilty. And I got to tell you, the 10 women or so within my vision field, you know, staring through a little black and white, you know, 1-inch by 2-inch camera vision finder, they were shocked. I mean, shock went through the room. People gasped. They covered their mouths. This was completely unexpected in the upper Midwest. You know, I think Midwesterners thought, well, of course he's guilty. He's going to be found guilty in a court of law. And I think this was the first time that, you know, we learned something about jury nullification. We learned that, you know, maybe the LAPD, if they thought you were guilty, kind of made sure there was abundant evidence of your guilt by, let's say, planting evidence. Didn't know that before. We had never seen, what, you know, a low-speed car chase like that. I mean, that whole AC and OJ on the run and, oh, no, I'm going to shoot myself. Back off. That, I swear to God, that happened around my birthday. And I just wanted desperately to have someone go out with me to the bars. You know, some of a college lush. I'm still that. But anyways, I remember struggling to get anyone to go out because everyone in America was watching OJ in this car chase being videoed from a helicopter, right? You were there, you know, you saw it. And so anyways, it was a strange time. And it was the first time that I can recall a trial being sensationalized. I mean, Jeffrey Toobin, that CNN guy, right? He earned his stripes with that. I think a court TV sprung out of that. A lot of different things came from the OJ trial. The term jury nullification, Mark Furman. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Remember all this? Am I the only one? Love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And I, you know, just Crudy's opinion, think we're going to have something rivaling the OJ trial starting on Monday, right? Donald Trump goes to trial on Monday. I guess that's the point I'm creeping towards. We're going to talk about this at length in the next hour. I'm going to let my little buddy Dominic you know, offer his 2 cents worth. He's often got at least 2 cents worth. But I see a lot of parallels, analogies. And the question becomes, in the New York State trial, considering you'd need effectively a consenting jury, you need 12. And this isn't the civil process. This isn't a civil fraud trial where the preponderance of evidence, a lower standard for conviction, at least on the civil level, well, that's what you got. But I look forward to this. I've been looking forward to this. But I will tell you, folks, and you're going to have to stick around for my complete and total take on this, and it's supported by some of the news articles I've read and some of the legal journals I've been reading. Donald Trump could very well get away with this. A, all he needs is one juror, one angry man in the room to say, you know what, I'm not going to convict this man under any circumstance. And that would effectively be, you know, they call that the hung jury, right? And it would create a mistrial, and the prosecution could come back and try this guy again, but he would have a victory, certainly in the court of public opinion, should that to happen. The other part of this, sort of a novel way to, not a novel way, but he's only been charged with felonies, no misdemeanors. But these crimes are only felonies, these cover-ups, this fraud. It's only a crime if there's a cover-up of another known crime. You could see Donald Trump theoretically plead to misdemeanors. Plead guilty, but plead to misdemeanors. And effectively, that might have a similar effect. That'd be like getting away with it. So we'll consider all those options. Line 5, Enbridge, a big story. Our friend Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, joins us next. Please stick around. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates, the Thursday edition. It's only going to get better.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Got a fine guest. He's joined live via StreamYard. We copied him. He's he's preceded us in the technology with the StreamYard. He's Robert Pilot from the Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. Robert, appreciate you joining us. You up at KTNF today or doing it from home?
Oh, doing it from home. I don't make it all the way over to Prairie Island. I'm a St. Paul boy. It's hard for me to cross that river. Oh,
you sound lazy, man. You sound like Dominic. Like, oh, man, I got to cross the river. No, that's way too far. Robert, I appreciate you joining virtually. It takes virtually no effort, but, you know, it takes a little. I appreciate you doing so. The reason I inquired and asked you to join today, new news on line 5. And line 5 is Enbridge, and I learned about line 5 actually from our audience, and, you know, it's been going on at least 5 years or more because the Bad River sued Enbridge, and William Conley, who is a federal court judge who I've followed a few of his other decisions on differing topics, Conley found with the reservation, found with the tribe, and found that Enbridge should pay $5.1 million for trespassing and shut down the pipeline by mid-2026. So what's the new news, Robert? What did we learn this week from the Biden administration?
Well, the Biden administration is similar than the Obama administration. And if you know why Native Roots Radio started, was that we had a thing called Dakota Access Pipeline. And we were waiting for Obama to stop it. And his last year as president, he didn't do anything. And he didn't do anything for our Native communities. So, again, I don't know if you ever see that picture with me and Obama. I met him. You guys were out there.
I was there.
In Milwaukee.
Not with you and Obama. You guys had the VIP spots. But I was in the greater hall with the masses that day.
Well, if you remember, I was going to tell him off, and I had my free Leonard Peltier button on, and then we were the first ones to meet and greet with him and have a picture taken, and he reached his hand out and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" Gave me eye contact. I wanted to kiss him, And I don't know what happened to me. And 13 seconds later, I was gone. Yeah. But I wanted to tell him off when I saw him about Enbridge here in Minnesota, too, line three from the evil empire Enbridge, but also Dakota Access Pipeline and Free Leonard Peltier. I got overwhelmed by meeting him. Has that ever happened to you?
Starstruck? I've had a few people feel that way in my presence.
Yeah.
No, I know I have. Reggie White, former Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer, now departed. Reggie White, I had a few opportunities to interview different Green Bay Packer players, and I only had one crack at Reggie White, and I'm lucky if I could mumble out one question for the guy. So, no, I know that feeling. Someone you admire greatly, it's hard to, you know, stick it to the guy, especially when you're in a public or a gracious setting. But anyways, Robert.
Well, you met my beautiful wife, and she would probably agree with me, but I wanted to kiss him full on the lips before I left, and I didn't have the opportunity. I was gone in 13 seconds, and I couldn't tell him off. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm taking over your show. I feel like I'm host.
Did Wendy want to kiss you on the lips then, or was it Obama that she had the affinity for? Just for the record.
It was me and Obama.
So, yes. Robert Pilot, my fine guest from the Native Roots Radio, plays out here on the Civic Media Network, I believe, a little bit earlier, 9 o'clock. But you play out live on KTNF, our friends up there in Minnesota, 9:50 a.m., and they could stream you live or find you on the socials. And 5 p.m., you're a 5 p.m. Central Time product, right, Robert?
Yep, exactly, 5 days a week. And then we do the best of on Civic Media and also the best of here on KTN. And you can find me on all social media platforms.
Yes, you do a fine job. I listened to you many times. And Robert, so let's talk about the importance of the Connolly ruling and Enbridge. And this will all be under appeal, right? This is not settled law. They're not moving on without a further fight, because there's a lot of profit taken in this pipeline business, right?
Oh, absolutely. And why, oh, why, oh, why do these pipelines have to go through treaty land or Native American reservations? It just blows my mind. And I know I keep on reverting back to Standing Rock when Native Roots Radio started their show, because there was no information about what was going on and with that pipeline. And they were originally going to put it through their town, and they said, we don't want it. We don't want this pipe going through our town, and because pipelines leak. So then they go right directly to the tribe and start putting it under the Missouri River. And one of the things I feel that's really interesting about this line five thing and the dispute is both Bad River and Enbridge don't like this ruling that the federal government and Biden administration have given, and they don't think it's enough money, and they want them to stop right away. And so it's a mishmash. But one of the things I read, believe it or not, in a Canadian newspaper that I had never heard in any of these pipeline battles is that the United States government has a treaty with Canada to be able to do this. And this is the first I've heard of that. It makes sense on how the federal government acts. But putting them through tribes is just a non-starter for us. And I support Bad River, and they should be getting more money. And pipelines do leak. And we all know from years past, the worst pipeline spills has been done by Enbridge. And it sickens me.
Robert Pilot, I was going to say that. I was going to inquire about the bad reputation that Enbridge has earned through other environmental spills. Kalamazoo, Michigan comes to mind. And I'm going by memory. I didn't refresh my memory, but it was millions of gallons of crude. Their alarms apparently didn't go off. It leaked into the Kalamazoo River. And the abatement project's been going on for years, but I can't imagine that the environment ever returns to its natural state when you put sludge in it.
Right. And that's what you got to tell your listeners too. This is like peanut butter. This is not oil that's like in your car or in your lawnmower or whatever, or in your bicycle. This is thick as peanut butter. So they have to put a chemical through that pipe that nobody knows what the secret sauce is to make this peanut butter.
Proprietary. It's proprietary, because otherwise you'd copy them, or you might know what the hell sort of poisons are diluting the. I'm sorry. You continue, Robert.
No, that was good. But one of the things I want to remind you too, when we were doing line three, which started up in Itasca by Enbridge, this was fought, and then the governor of Minnesota okayed it finally. The lieutenant governor was totally upset about it, Peggy Flanagan, who's Native American. And right away, there was blowouts in the pipe. And so at Lake Itasca, you can literally, where the Mississippi River starts, drink that water. You cannot do that anymore now.
So they've basically polluted the headwaters of the Mississippi River.
Absolutely. Enbridge, yep.
The Enbridge pipeline, the prior pipeline, I believe it's line three, goes through the spine of Wisconsin, does it not? I think it runs right through our listenership area. We played not only on 92.7 here in Madison, but also 1580 AM, which originates out of Columbus. And I'm pretty sure that pipeline goes right damn through that area. Robert, yeah. The locals never really got satisfactory answers out of Enbridge. They haven't been very public friendly, but I can tell you what, I listen to the Pandora, and when I go a little farther north of Wisconsin to my lake place, mm-hmm. I am getting force-fed pro-Enbridge stuff constantly. There is a public relations barrage going on currently that I've been getting on Enbridge. So I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here, but I'm hearing it on the digital media platforms. When you got to spend that much money saying we're not the bad guys, you just might be the bad guys sometimes.
Well, 2 years ago, and again, I'm referring back to Minnesota, 2 years ago, Enbridge was the number one lobbyist, and they spent $5.4 million in the state capital of Minnesota. They were, if hockey's a big deal here in Minnesota. They were advertising. They had, they put so much money into Enbridge as your good friend. And Enbridge is a foreign company that is destroying our environment and not caring about sovereign nations or caring about the people that drink water, which is all of us. And they're just not good people. And I noticed too, I was invited to the Chamber of Commerce business in Madison, and one of the sponsors is Enbridge. And I'd let them know. I emailed them and said, I'm not going if Enbridge is there.
Yeah, it's amazing how this big corporation sort of becomes your friendly neighborly partner in commerce, right? Because they need the cooperation of government and commerce to sort of persuade the constituencies that, whatever's floating in their fish isn't so bad for them anymore. Go ahead,
90%,
Robert.
90% of the tribes are poor. People are poor. Not everyone has a casino. Not everyone is making money or getting money from the government like people think. And so when you wave some money to Native Americans about jobs, things like that they did up in northern Minnesota, and then you find out they're non-union jobs. All the unions came from all over the country, not from Red Lake or any of those nations up there. And that you got people working for Enbridge at $15 an hour, carrying a flag, a stop and go flag. I have a big issue with that.
Robert Pilot, Lake Superior. This is actually, my understanding, shouldn't be classified as a lake. It is the largest inland sea in the United States and the largest freshwater body of water in the United States. Mm-hmm. Why would we possibly want to permit Enbridge to put new pipelines under Lake Superior? And that's also part of what they have in mind, is it not?
Absolutely. And one of the things that's the drawback of that is with global warming, the water level's going down. So these pipelines are going to bend and break eventually. And it just baffles my mind. And we need to have shows like yours and my show and all over civic media to bring up the truth, because we're only hearing half the things. And when you see a commercial of people smiling with balloons and then you see an Enbridge logo, you know that they are getting to some people.
Robert Pilot, as sovereign nations, why is it that you have to use the federal courts? Why is it the tribes have to use the federal courts to protect their interests? How is it that Enbridge can just blast through a Canadian corporation and build on tribal land without tribal consent or stay beyond the term of a lease? I don't understand why this should be in doubt or why Enbridge has any reason to appeal this ruling.
Well, I think, and this is just my opinion, but you got to follow the money. Now, if they're dumping this kind of money as lobbyists and as for commercials and supporting state hockey tournaments and basketball tournaments, that it's worth them to, you know, spread the money out, so to speak. You know, people are running for office. They always need money. Those follow the money. And that's the only thing that I can think of, because you know, people are listening, and the venues that we use to try and stop this did not work, all the way from line 3, Standing Rock, and now line 5. So something's amiss that we're missing. And again, I just read about a treaty that no one's ever brought up before, that we have a treaty with Canada's commerce and you know, having pipelines go through our country because they don't want it to go through their own country because pipelines leak, is something that we have to really worry about here.
Well, it's tar sands oil from Canada being piped down to what, New Orleans, where then it's refined and put on the international markets. Doesn't even help to resolve the high quote unquote gas prices here in the United States.
Bingo.
Robert Pilot, I appreciate you coming on, man. What's on the big show today?
Hey, we got Robert Lilligren. We're talking about national and local politics, which we all know there's a lot to talk about with our orange friend here. And then we have Bob Blake from Red Lake, who owns Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he talks about some positive things happening in the alternative energy end. So it's a jam-packed show.
It's always a jam-packed show with Robert Pilot, and Wendy occasionally lets her talk. thanks for joining us. Don't forget, Native Roots Radio, 9 o'clock on Civic Media, live on KTNF, 5 o'clock each day. Thank you, Robert.
Big peanuts.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. Dom's favorite day, you know, right next to Friday and Saturday. But then Sunday gets a little depressed because back to work on Monday. But we appreciate everyone that joins us each and every day, 3 hours. It's a wonderful thing. And you can always be a part of this big show. Most recently, Robert Pilot. Thank you, Robert. You can find his show on KTNF 950 AM, the progressive voice of Minnesota. He plays out at 5 o'clock and tape delayed right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 o'clock each weekday evening. So anyways, find him there. Looking forward to moving beyond this issue, but we have not yet. And I am a little hesitant to criticize the Biden administration, but this reporting at thehill.com, I'll share it with you, and then you can draw your own conclusions. Biden administration agrees with Native American tribe the Canadian pipeline is trespassing. Well, that seems like good news, right? Here's the latest. TheHill.com. The Biden administration straddled the line on a controversial Canadian oil pipeline in a court filing Wednesday, saying a lower court's order to drain portions running through tribal land may violate a 1977 treaty, but agreeing with the Native American tribe that the operator is trespassing on tribal land. So, in an amicus brief in the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Seventh Circuit, that's the Wisconsin Circuit, folks, the Justice Department, DOJ, agreed with the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Tribe of Chippewa Indians that Enbridge lacks any legal right to remain on the Chippewa land in Wisconsin. All right, so you're trespassing. Get the hell off, right? The lower court, the Western District Court of Wisconsin, and this was the Conley ruling, correctly rejected Enbridge's arguments that an Administrative Procedure Act or the 1992 agreement authorizes it to remain on the lands. So they agree on this. But here's the but. However, the administration also wrote that the district court did not properly consider U.S. obligations under a 1977 treaty with Canada. Now, Robert and I both found ourselves a little flat-footed. We didn't know about this treaty either, so here's the newest. In ordering the closure of the pipeline and that the appeals court should reconsider the decision by Judge William Conley to halt it by 2026. Now, the Justice Department did not take a position on whether the order did, in fact, violate the treaty. But the Bad River Band has been engaged in a legal battle with Enbridge since 2019. That's 5 years, folks. Specifically seeking to shut down a portion of the pipeline known as Line 5 that runs through Wisconsin and Michigan. Here's a quote from the Bad River Tribal Chairman, Robert Blanchard. "We are grateful the U.S. urged the court not to let Enbridge profit from its unlawful trespass, but we are disappointed that the U.S. has not unequivocally called for an immediate end to Enbridge's ongoing trespass, as justice and the law demand." Again, that's the tribal chair statement. "Enbridge should be required to promptly leave our reservation and get the hell off our lands. Just like other companies that have trespassed on tribal land, we are hopeful that the appeals court will put an end to Enbridge's shameful decade of trespass and not condone its exploitation of our land and sovereign rights." Seems pretty obvious to me, folks, but again, I'm not clear why this sovereign tribal nation has to go to the U.S. Court of Appeals to get these people to get the hell off their land, or at least compensate them. They've already been fined, what, $5 million? Here's a further quote. "Shutting down Line 5 before relocating the pipeline outside of the reservation would violate the 1977 Transit Pipeline Treaty between the U.S. and Canada. Jimmy Carter policy? The government of Canada has made its position clear," an Enbridge spokesperson told The Hill. "Such a shutdown is not in the public interest, as it would negatively impact businesses." Your business, right? That's what you're worried about. "Communities and millions of individuals who depend on Line 5 for energy in both the U.S. and Canada." I think that's disingenuous at best. What would be interrupted is your flow of profits, because again, this is tar shale, the worst kind, the dirtiest. I mean, setting aside the whole global warming issue, this is very polluting, noxious stuff. And then they have to put the secret sauce, as Robert Pilot described it, to make this stuff pass through a pipeline. So they're putting another unknown substance of toxic sort into the pipeline, which could also leak into the watershed. Also, they can pump this stuff down to New Orleans to be refined and offshored for the global markets. Because this is not a possessed commodity. It's not an American commodity. And just because, what, they infinitesimally increased the global oil supply by bringing the dirtiest stuff in the world to markets through our rivers and streams in the state of Wisconsin? That treaty, what's the treaty say? Never disrupt commerce. Something of that sort? It's got to be in the public interest? Okay, but there's a third country involved here. The tribal, the sovereign nation. And they've clearly been violated. So, you know, that treaty between the U.S. and Canada? That's not the Bad River Tribe's problem. You know what I'm saying? They're a third party to that problem. They didn't sign off on this 1977 Carter-era treaty with Canada. They're not bound by that treaty with Canada, I would suspect. And maybe the federal courts in their direction have to be considerate of that. But why would they have to be considerate of that on behalf of someone else's nation? And I don't mean Canada. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Again, thank you, Robert Pilot. We're going to have another fine guest in the 5 o'clock Happier Happy Hour. He's our good friend, Dr. Tim Slecker. He does the big show with Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, the Busted Pencils, every day, 6 o'clock, immediately following the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'd encourage you to stick around, listen to him. And also, my little buddy Dominic, he's joining soon. OJ's dead. Mentioned that. I was there when the verdict was read to the Women's Rotarian or whatever it was in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Shocked, I say. A lot of pearl clutching that day. We'll compare and contrast that with what is to come. The trial of Donald Trump. It's coming up, man. Like 2 business days. Got a weekend in there. I know we're going to have some fun over the weekend as well. But the Trump trial starts Monday. We, I suspect, will lead there. Sort of parallel the OJ trial and the Trump trial. Come back with us. It's the Happy Hour. More Devil's Advocates.